I'm Michael.
I'm Mick.
I'm Matt.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And we just had a first, I believe. We had an opening act in Salina, Kansas, a group of Tuvan throat singers.
Yes, and we learned a little something from them, which we'd like to share with you now.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 174, Brushes with Greatness. We get to travel so much when we're on the road for the RSC. You know, we in the British Shakespeare Company have managed to meet the great and the near great so many places and so many times, and really one podcast is not going to do justice to them all. But we want to tell tales this week of some of the famous and infamous people we've met in our travels. Now, interestingly enough, most of the folks we talk about in this podcast are actually people we encountered before joining the RSC. But last week, Michael Faulkner, Mick Orff, and Matt Rippey got to meet Alash, the Tuvan throat singers who opened for us in Salina, Kansas. Now, this was fascinating for several reasons. The first being, we don't usually have opening acts at our performances. And two, they're throat singers from Tuva, which is a country in Asia near Mongolia. What's actually, according to the stories, it's actually not near anywhere, but that was really the least of our confusion. As Matt Rippey quite rightly asked, what the hell is Tuvan throat singing?
But see, explain a little bit, because, I mean, I was confused. When I heard that we had a group of throat singers opening for us, I was like, so what else are you going to sing with? I mean, hello, you're not going to sing with your elbow.
Yeah.
But, so what is it they do?
I mean, so tuba and throat singing is actually this fascinating thing that they've developed where they're able to produce two harmonic tones from one person. So they'll, like, sing a drone note, and then they can harmonize with the notes. So you'll hear thirds and fifths and all kinds of harmonic overtones that sound almost flute-like, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. I mean, I was very fortunate to be able to sit out in the house for the final three or four songs. But, I mean, all of us heard them in the dressing room warming up and playing those instruments, I'm not even sure what they're called, but these great folk instruments, strings and drums. But then watching them do it on stage, amazing. And the audience was totally engaged.
Yeah, they really liked it.
Yeah. In fact, they got a standing ovation.
Yes, they did.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
All right, good.
Say the name of the group.
Alash.
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 Alash, poor Yorick.
Not the Middle Eastern flatbread, but Alash.
Not Lavash.
Alash, poor Yorick.
Well, and what was great was we all had a chance. They took such good care of us there in Salina, fed us a gorgeous dinner. We all sat down together.
And lunch.
And a little special something in the refrigerator afterwards.
And we struck up a conversation with their road manager / tour manager.
/ executive producer.
Yeah, Sean, who's actually... And driver, who's actually an American, who's lived in Tuva for 7 years. He told me it took him like 2 years to really learn how to do it. And it was a requirement because he fell in love with this Tuvan girl while he was there. And in order to marry her, to be accepted by the culture, he had to learn how to sing. And secondly, he had to learn to kill a goat with a small knife. But the musicians were all really nice, and one of them, they spoke very little English, but one of them did come up to me afterwards. They watched the show, and they were laughing at, you know, what they could get, and one of them came up to me after the show and said, "Rude show."
Rude or good?
Rude. I think he said rude, but he probably meant good.
Meant good, yeah.
Oh, then they did gave us a free CD. So we've all been listening to it in the van.
That's Alash you're hearing now. The track is called Ezengalir off their album In Alash. But individual members of the RSC have had their brushes with greatness as well. And again, as Matt Rippey tells us, not only members of the RSC have had them, but our own UK press agent Claire Walker as well.
Claire Walker was at Groucho's, busting for the loo, as the Brits say.
That's the Groucho Club in London, desperate for a pee.
Yes, that's right.
Translate that into an American, all right.
Yeah, and she's waiting, and finally the stall door opens, and out pops Andy McDowell. And there wasn't an exchange. Uh-huh. Claire just wanted to get onto the toilet, so sits down and thinks, ooh, it's still warm. No, that's a brush.
That is a very brush with greatness. There. And what are yours?
Well, I got me another. I was at CBGB's in New York back in the day. We're talking talking early 90s. CBGB's, I was seeing Tom Tom Club, who were an offshoot from Talking Heads, and I was a big Talking Heads fan. And there was rumor that maybe David Byrne would show up, or they said kind of a guest star. And I was thinking, David Byrne, it's going to be like a Talking Heads reunion at CBGB's, and I would die. So we're packed, and I don't know if you've ever been to CBGB's. No. It's just like a storefront.
They closed it, right?
They closed it, yeah, sad. But it's just like a shop front, right?
Yeah, right.
And so you enter through the front door. There is no back door.
Right.
So
everybody enters through the
front. Everyone enters the front door. It's packed. And I had fought my way up to the front, and I'm like, I'm in position. And then there's someone pushing behind me. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. I worked to get to the front, and someone pushing and gives me a little bit of a shove. And I turn around as if to say, dude, just calm down. And it's Lou Reed. And he just went,
oh my gosh.
Stage, need stage.
So, I'm on in five.
So I was, oh yes, there you go, Mr. Reed. And he stepped up and...
And even though you were given head, he said, hey, babe.
Yeah. Take a walk on my wild side. And then he proceeded to absolutely slaughter burning down the house.
Oh, really?
But it was, I didn't care. I was like, hey, man, Lou Reed just shoved me. Do I rock or what?
You do rock.
Hello. As far as I know, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? This weekend next, we're at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire, then Ithaca, New York, Morristown, New Jersey, then later in April, we're at the Center Stage in Reston, Virginia, and the Virginia Arts Festival in Norfolk, Virginia. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. It's RSC feedback now. Oh, Lordy, we got some fantastic feedback this week. Just fantastic. We performed a student matinee of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo 2 weeks ago. And we received this email from a teacher. Now, it's a male teacher. At least it has a male name on the email address. I'm not going to read it to you for reasons that will become clear. The email is studded with words and phrases in quotation marks or inverted commas. And I will try to do these phrases justice. The email reads, "Whilst attending your performance today with our homeschool students group, I must say I enjoyed most of it. Fabulous visual humor and dialogue, but there were so many flamboyantly gay references and elements that even Adam Lambert would call it over the top. Speaking of, quote, tops, the bard was plenty bawdy without having to play, quote, how much GLBT innuendo can we pack into this thing without raising eyebrows, unquote. There were so many top, bottom, butt sex, BJ, tranny, balls, wanking, and similar references, I lost count. Of course, the big giveaway was Lady Gaga. Quote, bottom, unquote, line, not every, quote, diva over 15 appreciates bear, in air quotes, bear-ing with the subtleties of raw, gay, sexual humor. So unless you're, quote, out to give GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D, a, quote, helping hand, unquote, by turning your, quote, act into their fundraising outreach, you, quote, otter, unquote, quote, cut, unquote, it down for the straight and young, please." Wow. I were going back and forth about this email. We don't quite know what to make of it. I mean, First of all, it's a fantastic email, and good for this man who's clearly looking out for the children. He clearly wants to make sure that the children aren't exposed to anything that will confuse them. But oh my gosh, Reed and I were confused. What did we have? We had to look up GLBT. That's gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Tops. We had to look up tops in air quote. We had to look up bear and otter. We had to look those up. And please, this is why God invented Google. Go look for these things. They mean something in the gay and lesbian community. They mean things. And we had to look up that Lady Gaga is apparently a gay icon. We didn't know. Lady Gaga is a silly reference. It was fantastic. I mean, it's just, I can only hope that this guy has some company way, way deep back in the closet where he is, because it's a little scary how much gay innuendo he picked up in the script that we didn't even know about. And I'm not sure. All right, there's butt love, yes, in the Shakespeare show, but I don't think there's references to BJs and or balls, testicles, I don't think. Transvesticism, absolutely, that's in Shakespeare. I don't think we talk about wanking in the show. I'm not actually sure we're guilty of all the things he says we're guilty of. But wow, it's fabulous. Fabulous email. And I guess my only real thought is that methinks the lady doth protest too much. Wow. If you have any feedback, I know it won't be as good, but if you do have any feedback, send it to us as an email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. All right, now that was a legitimately great email we just brushed up against. But getting back to our real brushes with greatness, our office manager and sometimes stage manager and wardrobe supervisor, really our Jill of all trades, Ali Bostet, spent many years working film festivals and premieres at the Sebastiani Theater in Sonoma, California. She's had quite a few run-ins with the great and the near great herself.
I shared a box of bonbons with John Carroll Lynch once.
I know John Carroll Lynch. He was on Drew Carey.
He was Drew Carey's cross-dressing brother.
Yes, and he played the major suspect in Zodiac.
He did. He was at the film festival at Sebastiani Theater mm-hmm. in the America video. Mm-hmm. But they were premiering Bugs. Forget the title. Anyway, he was there, and he was out in the lobby when I was cleaning out the ice cream freezer, and there was a box of bonbons that was just absolutely caked in ice. And I always ate those, so I had opened it up, and I was snacking. He said, oh, can I have one?
Cool.
I said, all right. Can I have two? All right. So, yeah, we split. We each had three bonbons.
That's awesome. And who did you shush?
I have shushed Scott Baio.
Ooh.
Who was standing in the lobby, again, at a different film festival, and he wouldn't shut up. And the theater was built in the 30s, so the walls are really, really thin.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're shouting in the lobby, the audience trying to watch your movie can hear you.
So Ali does not love Chachi.
No, Ali does not love Chachi.
Okay.
But, and Pauly Shore was making too much noise in the bathroom. They could hear him. He was on his cell phone at the urinals.
Okay.
And they could hear him also in the auditorium because he was screaming into his phone. He was angry.
I'm peeing dead.
That's my Pauly Shore.
I don't know what that was.
Pauly
but
Shore or
no, I've shushed both of them. But Pauly Shore was the one at the urinal.
Oh,
and I had to go into the men's room and say, you need to be quieter. Because he was just standing there screaming into his phone.
Cool. I was in a bookshop in Belsize Park in London. Just me and the guy behind the counter, small bookshop. It's not even there anymore. And I hear the door ring because some other customers have come in. I'm standing there at the thing, and the one customer just comes and stands so right close to me. You know, like in closer than you should be. It's like, is somebody trying to pick me up? And I turn and I look at the person. It's Terry Jones from Monty Python. And I'm going, oh, my God.
Cool.
And I turn around to see whether the counter guy sees that it's Terry Jones. But there's one other customer in the store as well. It's Michael Palin. Michael Palin and Terry Jones have come into the same bookstore that I'm in together. They hang out. The guys from Monty Python hang out. It was so cool. I'm going to the counter guy. Do you know how cool this is? I did not have the presence of mind to say anything. I just kind of went, I'm just going to stand over here in the corner and watch you guys look at books. And then they walked out, and I went, ah.
And then you bought every book that they touched.
I did, right. Yes, I should have done. What was your story?
I remembered one.
I was working at the box office at the Alley Theater in Houston, Texas. This is going back a few years. And I'm at the window. And this guy steps up and leans in and says, I'd like to pick up two tickets. And it's Woody Harrelson. And so I kind of freeze. But then I think, be cool, be cool, be cool. So then I just thought, well, make him feel normal. So I went, oh, okay, two tickets. What name would they be under? And then he leaned into the little, you know, teller hole window, and he said, well, that would be Woody Harrelson. And everyone in the box office did it. And so they all come rushing over and go, oh, we'll get those for you, Mr. Harrelson. And then everyone's going, are they good enough for you? Do you want to move up closer? We can exchange them. Oh, and everyone's going, oh, he paid for them. Well, you know, you really didn't have to pay for these. And right. I'm going, guys, attempt to be cool.
Right. Well, that reminds me, when I used to attend bar in New York City in 86 to 88 at the Ginger Man. Right on 68th, I think, or something like that. Where are we at? Places?
Places, please, guys.
I'm telling a story.
Well, I'm going to places. You do what you got to do.
Fine.
I'll chase them up.
Fine. And it's
Dr. Blinky Thundernuts, ladies and gentlemen.
Give him the call. And just as they open, I'm Tenant Bar, the Ginger Man. It's right across the street from Lincoln Center. This guy comes in and leans way over the bar, just leans right over the bar. It's almost as if he's going to grab me by the scruff of the neck like they do in Westerns to bartenders. Give me a whiskey. You know, it was like one of these things. And I'm looking right into the face of David Carradine. David Carradine Kung Fu, who just, you know, died recently. And he says, I want a screwdriver. I went, okay, yes, all right, coming right up. But, I want it a sunrise. I went, what? You'd want a sunrise. I want what's in a sunrise. I want that in the screwdriver. I went, tequila sunrise? Yes! I want a screwdriver with tequila. Coming right up. Don't kill me. Don't leap across the bar and kick my head. Straight. That was just odd.
It's too bad you couldn't talk him into getting a grasshopper instead.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. We will definitely do another podcast like this. So please send us your brushes with greatness via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com, and our Reduce Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, the great Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Emily Eisenman. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Weird Al Yankovic, also legitimately great. And very special thanks to the Tuvan and One American throat singers, Alash. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 174, 520 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.